This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
My name's Jason. For those of you that are new to the church, we know that there's visitors coming each and every week, so we just want to say thanks for coming. Thanks for spending your weekend with us. We believe you'll be better because of it. Title of the message this morning is Forward Favor, that the favor of God will move you forward in your life, in God's plan for your life. So let's read the scripture, Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. It says this, "For God's anger only lasts for a moment, but his favor," someone say his favor. "His favor is for life." Notice that. Favor is for life. It's for living. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Anybody glad? Hey, let me ask you this. Anybody seeing God turn weeping into joy? Come on, somebody. The favor of God will do that in your life. It'll turn weeping in terrible situations. It'll turn it around in your favor. And the Bible says what was meant for evil, God can turn it and work it for your good. Amen? And so favor will do that. Favor is for life, every area of your life. We can see favor in our marriage. We can see favor in our finances. Come on, somebody. Someone's like, "Jesus, I need some favor in my finances." Hallelujah. Bring me some Benjamins, Jesus. No, just, but for real, the favor of God can get on your finances. He can bring favor into your life. You know, my dad is Pastor Terry. He's the lead pastor here at Celebration. And growing up, I found out I could get favor. I could get favor with my daddy by when he'd ask me to clean my room, I could clean my room, and I'd get financial favor. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? And then if I lived right and I was doing what I needed to do, by the time I was ready for a car, he'd look out, and him and my grandparents got together, and my grandparents bought me my first car. I had a 65 Chevelle, and it was favor. If I would have been wilding out, turning up, going crazy, my grandma would say, "You crazy boy, you ain't getting no car. You might, you know, get in a wreck and hurt somebody." You know what I mean? But the favor, I found out that if I lived pleasing to God, that his favor came upon my life. And it got on my finances, even as a young person. I remember that happening, and it's happened all through our lives. Doesn't mean there's not challenges. Doesn't mean there's not difficulties. But when you got the favor of God, come on, it'll bring you to the top. Amen? You can see favor at work in your children, and you know some of them need it. Come on, somebody, right? You can see favor in your marriage, at work, in your business. You know the favor of God being on your life can just get you a raise just because the favor of God is upon your life. You know the favor of God can make you a more competent employee. Amen. You could end up owning the place that you work at because the favor of God is upon you. The favor of God is God's ability. It'll give you capacity and ability that you didn't have on your own, but you got to first know about it, know how to get it to work in your life. Also, so we can see the favor of God in all those areas. So our declaration for this year, for you, for Celebration, is that we are growing in the favor of God this year. Amen? All right, so let me give you the definition of favor. What does God's favor look like? What is it? It is a distinguishing advantage of God's goodness upon your life. So the goodness of God shows up in your life, whether it be financially or in your job. The goodness of God, as I just explained, can do many good things for you, but it's the goodness of God showing up on your life to where it distinguishes you above other people, because it's just, God is just that good in your life. The second definition is God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. Come on, somebody. And some of you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, "God, do for me what I can't do for myself." Hallelujah. Right? I mean, it's just a joke, but God really can. How many of you have seen God do things for you that you could never do for yourself? Amen? So the favor of God is God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. And then it's the third definition is this: God's goodness displayed in such a way that only God can get the credit. In other words, God can do such incredible, great things in your life that people know, hey, he or she didn't do that. That must be God working in their life. All right, and so let me just say this about the favor of God. Favor will take a nobody and turn them into a somebody. This is the story of Gideon. Gideon was the weakest and the least. His tribe was the weakest tribe And he was the least in the tribe. And so God took this man named Gideon and said, you are a mighty man of valor. And he took Gideon and a very small army and defeated huge enemy armies of God's people, because favor can take a nobody and turn them into a somebody. Amen. So in other words, it doesn't matter if you're the weakest and the least. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you came from, whether you're wealthy, whether you're poor, whether you're somewhere in the middle, whether you're incredibly intelligent, whether you're not so much, whether you're somewhere, it doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, the favor of God can take you from where you're from and move you forward. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so we see that. And then the other thing is that favor will take you from the back of the line and move you to the front of the line. We see this displayed in the story of Ruth. Ruth was basically begging in the fields, and she was gleaning the leftovers after the reapers would come through the field. She was gleaning the leftovers and taking them back to her family who was starving. And so she did this, but she said, if I can just get into the line of sight of Boaz, then I can find favor. And the Bible says she found favor. Someone say favor. Favor will move you forward. She found favor with God. And when Boaz saw her, she found favor with him. And Boaz was the king. He went up to the people in the fields and says, hey, when you see this girl, and let me tell you, she was fine. Come on, somebody. I mean, you know the Lord was with her because she was fine. You know what I'm saying? She's like my wife, super hot. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I grew up, they say, you need to marry someone that can pray. I said, amen, okay, amen, amen. You got to marry someone that can pray. You got to marry someone that was holy. I said, okay, but she can be hot too. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Puerto Rican, holy and hot. You know what I'm saying? It's awesome. Come on, mama didn't raise no fool, you know. Man, so the Lord is with her, my God. You know what I'm saying? So he told the gleaners, he said, leave some extra in the field so that when she comes, there'll be extra for her. What is that? That's favor moving her forward. Come on, somebody. You know what that is? That's God taking the labor out of your success. That's crazy right there. God. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't need to be a hard worker. It doesn't mean you don't need to have a good work ethic. You need to be working as unto the Lord. Amen. You should be the hardest and the most excited worker at your job, and favor will come to you. But what this is meaning is, how many of you know gleaning in the fields is not easy work? Come on, somebody. I said, come on, somebody. But the good news is God says, I'll go ahead and make what was hard, I'm going to make that easy for you because my favor is on you. In other words, other people picked it, but they're going to leave it in the field for you. Because favor can take you from the back of the line and move you to the front of the line. Favor will move you forward. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. But sometimes, God began to reveal to me that one of the most powerful aspects of God's favor is that if we will cooperate with God and live with him and for him, that his favor will move us forward. Forward in his plan for our lives, forward in prosperity, forward in blessing, forward in destiny, forward in favor, forward in peace. God doesn't want you staying the same. He wants you moving forward. Amen? And so, but we all know this, that situations in life, adversity, pain, discouragement, disappointment, setbacks, delays, am I speaking to anybody so far? They come from the enemy to try to get us to stop believing God, to stop dreaming, to stop pursuing God, and stop praying in an attempt to get us stuck. Have you ever felt stuck? Four of you are being honest. It's awesome. It's good. No, have you ever felt stuck in a job or a place of employment? Have you ever felt stuck in a relationship? Come on, somebody. Someone's like, I feel it right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. Spirit of discernment. No, I'm just kidding. Stuck in your relationship with God. You ever been in a place where I just feel stuck? What about this? What about stuck in a disappointing season in your life, and you want to get out, you want to do better, you want to move forward, but yet you feel like you are stuck? And what do you mean? No forward momentum, no excitement or motivation for the future anymore. Just existing, just living week to week and month to month, surviving, stuck. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And the enemy says to you, he whispers in your ear and says, get used to it. It's always going to be this way. You're just stuck. It's just life's been disappointing. You're living a far less fulfilling life than you thought that you would. Just get used to it. This is the way that it's going to be in your life. We've all felt that way at one time or another. But, you know, listen, the enemy lies to you and says, give up. It's just going to be this way. This is it. But it brings me great joy and pleasure to announce to you this morning that the devil is a liar and he is defeated. And it doesn't matter how long you've been disappointed. It doesn't matter how long you've been stuck. It doesn't matter how long you've been depressed. It doesn't matter how long you've been addicted. There's an anointing here this morning. The favor of God can come and begin to get you unstuck. Come on, somebody, and move you forward. I wonder if I'm talking to anybody in celebration that can praise God because he's gotten you unstuck before. He's delivered you from depression. He's delivered you from addiction. He's delivered you from discouragement. He's delivered you from defeat. I need you to take about 30 seconds and give your God a praise because favor moved you forward. Come on, if you're going to shout, shout it's still praise in here. Hallelujah. Say, why are you praising him? There's still problems in your life. Why are you praising him? When you get home, your kids are still acting crazy. When you get home, there's still drama in your marriage. When you get home, your work is still all messed up. That's okay. Sometimes I praise him while the walls are still standing. You missed a tremendous opportunity because while the walls of Jericho were still standing, they marched around and started shouting and the walls came down. Do you know that while you're praising, he's working on your life. He's working on those walls. He'll bring the walls down if you will praise him. Favor will move you forward. Favor will move you forward. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 says this. Paul said this. I love this. Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me, reaching forward. Someone say forward. The answer is not in your past, church. The answer is ahead of you. The answer is by taking a step forward. You're going to have to learn to move forward even when you don't feel like you can. Come on, I have found that when it feels impossible, you feel paralyzed by fear. You feel like I've tried this and tried this and tried this, and yet it's not working. It's not coming to pass, and the devil jumps on your shoulder and lies. He says, it's always going to be there. And listen, you're just there, and it feels impossible. Sometimes, church, you got to do it when you don't feel like it. That's why some of you are tripping right now, like, how are they shouting? Why are they excited? Because we have found out, see, some of the people aren't shouting because everything is okay. Some people are shouting because they believe everything is going to be okay. Sometimes I'm doing it by faith, Olga. I'm praising him by faith because me and my household shall be saved. Devil, you are a liar. You're not going to take my kids. You're not going to get my family. I know you're messing with them right now. But if God be for me, who in the world can be against me? I feel like prophesying no weapon formed against you is going to be able to prosper. Someone needs to take courage, get up and stand up and say, devil, you threw your best shot at me, but I'm still standing and we will see favor move me forward. Ah, I feel my Baptist roots coming out right now. Ah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Come on, the devil hates this kind of atmosphere. And so I let you gotta move forward by faith. And so Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me, reaching forward to the things that are ahead of me. Do you remember the four lepers that were sitting outside the city gate? And they had leprosy and they're about to die. And they said, why sit we here until we die? They said, let us get up. And I'm telling you, the answer for some of you is get up. Get up out of that discouragement. Get up out of that funk in your mind. Get up out of that mess you've been dealing with. You got to get up by faith. This morning, God brought you to church so you could stand up again. Come on, man. Listen, you'll freak the devil out. He threw all kinds of stuff at you. Got you on Prozac, got you all on pills. You all messed up, and he thought, I got him now. I'm going to kill him. And yet Sunday morning, you find strength on the inside to stand back up again. And the Bible said, they said, why sit we here till we die? If we go to our camp, we die. We sit here, we will surely die. But, someone say but. I'm glad God has a but. You know what I'm saying? But if we go to the enemy's camp, perhaps they will spare us and we can live. And the Bible said, as they, can you imagine? It was a sad sight. They're lepers, you know, might have a toe missing, might have a nose missing, might have an ear missing, staggering along. But they just start scuffling along. Not doing much, but they're moving forward. And as they were moving forward, the Bible said that God caused the camp of the enemy to hear a great sound of a greater army. And the Bible said it scared them so bad, they left their meals on the table. They left their gold in their tents. They left their silver in their tents. What you need to know is that the answer isn't in feeling sorry for yourself, sitting down where you've been. The answer is in getting up again and say, God, I'm going to follow you forward. I wonder if I got anybody in here this morning that says, I'm not going to sit where I've been. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to praise him and move forward. I'm going to believe and move forward. I'm going to give and move forward. I'm going to pray and move forward. I wish I had half a church. No, I'm just playing. Come on, if you believe it, shout yes. So the Bible said, Paul said, forgetting those things that lie behind me, pressing forward. Someone say forward. Because favor will move you forward. And I got to get to where I'm going. But the Bible said that, he said, forgetting those things that lie behind, press forward. Why do you need to forget what lies behind? If it's behind you, why do you need to forget it? Because the devil will take past failures and put them in front of you. He'll take past discouragement and put it in front of you. He'll take disappointment and put it in front of you. And some of you have been walking around wonder why life is so dark, because you're seeing through the glasses of disappointment and past failures. And God can do it for them, but he can't do it for me. And God says, yeah, you ain't gonna get no favor because you messed up. You blew it. You messed up. You blew it. You sinning, and he puts all the stuff back in front. And listen, you know, it just brings me great joy to say this. Sometimes you just got to say, shut up, devil. Say, devil, you're right. I don't get favor because I deserve it. I get it because Jesus got it for me 2,000 years. Sometimes when the devil reminds you of your past, you need to say, now, devil, go back a little bit further. Go back to Paul and go back to Matthew and go back to Mark. Go back to Luke. Remember when Jesus, you remember, come on, George Lopez, you remember when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago and you were throwing a party in hell because you thought you won, but all of a sudden 3 days later, here came Jesus marching down into hell. He defeated the devil, stripped him of his authority, got the keys of death and hell, led captivity captive. Devil, do you remember that he gave me all authority in heaven and earth? Devil, do you remember he said, whatsoever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven? Do you remember that he said, I could lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Do you remember he makes my feet like hinds feet, causes me to walk on high places? Devil, do you remember the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is with me. My rod and my staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Devil, do you remember greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world? Do you remember my God shall meet all my needs according to his riches in glory? Devil, do you remember Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried away my pains? Surely. Does anybody in here remember? If you remember, give God a praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forget those things that lie behind you. Reach forward to what lies ahead of you, because favor is about to move you forward. That's the word of the Lord for us today. All right. I got a little bit of time left. Now, Joseph was a man of favor. He had favor from the Lord. And Bible said that when he was young, his dad favored him above his brothers, because his brothers were sons of basically a servant wife, but they were not the children of his wife, Rachel. She was barren until God blessed her late in life to get pregnant, and she got pregnant with Joseph. And so, because of that, Jacob favored Joseph above his brothers. And so his brothers hated him. They hated him because he was favored by God, and he had favor with their father, and they were jealous. And so they conspired to kill Joseph. Just because you got favor on you don't mean you're not going to go through trials. Favor will get you through the trial. And so they conspired to kill him. They went 65 miles from their home. They dug a pit, and they threw Joseph in the pit. And the older brother said, well, let us not kill him. Let's sell him, because the slave driver was coming. Caravan was coming. So let's sell him. And so they sold Joseph for, I believe it was 20 pieces of silver. Yeah. 20 pieces of silver, they sold him. And here's what they did. They dipped Joseph's coat of favor, because the Bible says that his father made him a coat of many colors. But they took the coat off. Good news is, church, they can take your coat off, but they can't take your favor off. Oh, that's some stuff right there. Devil said, you used to be favored, but you lost your job. You used to be favored, but now you jacked up. Shut up, devil. They took my coat off, but they can't take my favor off. They can't do it. And so they sold him. And this is kind of a crazy thing. They dipped Joseph's coat into goat's blood. And they took it back to their father, Jacob. And Jacob said, he was mourning, and they tried to comfort him. And he said, no, I'm going to go to my grave mourning my son Joseph's death. And they deceived their father and told him that Joseph had died. The crazy thing about this is that Jacob deceived his father, because his brother Esau was in line to get the blessing. He was in line to receive the inheritance that came from God, from his father. It came from God through the father. And so he went in. Esau was a hairy man. He was out in the field. And he came in and he was hungry. And Jacob, the deceiver, made him a bowl of stew and basically said, I'm going to go in here. And Jacob went in, and Esau was a hairy man, rugged, smelled like the woods because he was a hunter. And so Jacob put on animal hair. I mean, you got to be hairy. That if I'm going to disguise myself as you and I got to put on animal hair, you a beast. That's a different level of testosterone right there. You know what I'm saying? My God, I wonder how he smelled, you know? And so he went in there and got the blessing and deceived his father, got his brother's blessing. Now, all these years later, his sons say that Joseph, they deceive him, say Joseph is dead. And they show him the blood of a goat. Isn't it amazing that Jacob dressed up, put animal skin, and now he's being deceived by animal blood? Because what you reap, you sow. Come on, somebody. Nobody gets away with anything. And so now Joseph is sold into slavery. And so he goes. And now he's in slavery, and he comes to Potiphar's house. Potiphar's over the slaves. And God, the favor of God, moves him from the bottom all the way now to where he is ruling Potiphar's house. Because favor will continue to move you forward even in bad situations. And so now he's in Potiphar's house, and then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife. You know there's trouble now. Potiphar's wife, the Bible says Joseph was handsome. I must be his descendant. You know what I'm saying? I'm always speaking faith up in here. You know what I'm saying? And so he's handsome. And the Bible said that Potiphar's wife saw him and said, Oh, he's a handsome little man. He's a handsome young man. And the Bible said she tried to get Joseph to lay with her. If you don't know what lay means, look it up. And she tried this day after day, and every day Joseph said, no. He lived according to God's standard, and he rejected the temptation day after day. And so the Bible said finally one day, she sent all the servants out away from the house, and she said, nobody's here, come lay with me. And she grabbed him. She was aggressive, you know what I'm saying? And the Bible said that he ran. He fled out of the house, but she grabbed his coat. And she held on to the coat. And then when Potiphar got home, she falsely accused Joseph of raping her. And the Bible said that then Joseph was now thrown in prison. 13 years now from being put into a pit, sold into slavery, favor moved him forward. Now he's at the top ruling the slaves. False accusation of rape. Now he's in prison. And the Bible said that in prison, the butler and the baker of Pharaoh, king of the largest nation in the world at the time, was in prison as well. They had dreams. And Joseph, he says, I'm favored. I've never done it before. But God, the secrets belong to you. Give me the interpretation. And the Bible said that God gave Joseph the interpretation. He interpreted both of their dreams. And in 3 days, both interpretations came to pass. And here's what Joseph said. When you get out, speak to Pharaoh on my behalf. But the Bible says the baker forgot. Here's a prophetic word. If you feel forgotten, you're not. If you feel forgotten, you are not. And God has rewards coming to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so now he's out, baker's out, and he's still in prison. Can you imagine how Joseph feels? Rejected by his brother, sold into slavery, comes out of the pit. Now he's ruling slave, back in prison. Can you imagine how Joseph feels? And yet, he kept serving God faithfully. And the Bible says that Pharaoh had a dream and it was disturbing to him and none of his magicians could interpret the dream. And the butler remembered Joseph. The butler remembered Joseph and he told Pharaoh about him and Joseph came out and interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And the Bible said that the dream, and it, there was, I believe it was seven fat cows come out of the Nile, and then seven cows that were like super skinny and looked like they were in a famine, dying cows. And Joseph said, these cows represent 7 years of abundance followed by 7 years of famine. If you will save and put away in the storage barns during the 7 years, how many of you know the wisdom of God can get you through tough times? Favor will move you forward. While everybody else on the earth was dying from famine, God's nation was still moving forward, and other nations came to them to buy grain from them because one man interpreted a dream from God. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says, so 7 years of famine, so they put away in the years of plenty for the years of famine. They absolutely made it through. Pharaoh, the king, was so impressed with Joseph, was so impressed with the favor of God that was on Joseph's life, he made him second in command only to Pharaoh himself. And he said, whatever you say, Joseph, goes. Gave him his signet ring, and he went through all the land and ruled the land because of the favor of God that was upon his life. Here's the point. Favor will bring promotion to your life. Come on, somebody. Come on, I just talked to somebody. Has anybody ever seen favor bring promotion to your life? And I want to tell you, some of you that have been in a difficult season, God says, don't you stop believing for my favor. It may have been a year, it may have been 5 years, but I'm telling you, Sam, God has favor for your life. I'm telling you, a house can be given to you. The right kind of job can be given to you. The right kind of position can be given to you. Because God watches out for those who have a heart for him. Because God will promote those that he favors. Somebody shout yes. And so now, in closing, I like this. Joseph is promoted. He's over the whole land, over the whole nation. Yet, he still has pain. Because you can be promoted and still have pain. And God says, I am not happy with just you being promoted. I want to deal with the pain. And so Joseph gets married, and the Bible says that his first son he names, now hear me because I'm closing, his first son he names Manasseh. Do you know what Manasseh means? God has made me to forget. That's the first part. Here's where it gets good. Manasseh means God brought something new into Joseph's life, this baby. And he named him Manasseh. God has made me to forget my anguish, grief, and pain. Oh, man. Are you catching this? So the favor of God brought something new into Joseph's life that caused Joseph to forget the anguish, grief, and pain of prison, slavery, and being betrayed by his brothers. Here's what I'm prophesying to you, Celebration. What God is looking to bring into your life this year is so great and so powerful, it can cause you to forget the pain, anguish, and grief of your past. That's what I got, but I prophesy, get ready. God's about to bring new things into your life that are going to be so great to you that it causes you to forget the pain, the grief, and the anguish of your past. Come on, if you believe it, one more time, give Jesus a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow, wow, wow. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are moving us forward through your favor upon our lives. Remember, favor, as Pastor Randy and Pastor Terry told us, favor needs to be expected. Expect the favor of God in your life. Number two, you need to recognize the favor of God in your life. When you get a parking in the front, someone ought to praise God, say, thank God for favor. Others of you, that parking's not opening up because you need to walk to the back 40 and walk because you need some exercise. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about favor. Where's my favor? God's favoring you. He's keeping you from a heart attack. Walk, baby. You know what I'm saying? I'm just playing about that. But listen, wherever the favor shows up in your finances, favor shows up in your marriage, favor shows up on your job, favor shows up in your mind. I mean, I went through something this week, and we were here Wednesday. There was great impartation here Wednesday, and I went through an absolute attack of the enemy on Thursday, and in the past, it may have tried to shake me a little bit, and I'm telling you that impartation in me rose up, and what would have taken a while to deal with before, all of a sudden dealt with it immediately, because favor is moving us forward. I'm telling you, we are in the middle of a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit. We need to thank God for it. We need to expect more. We need to praise God for what he's doing, because we are not just in another church service. We are in a moment, church. We are in a pivotal moment that can position us for the greatest year we've ever seen 2018. But we've got to expect the favor of God, we've got to recognize the favor of God, and then we need to respond to the favor of God. Amen? What do you mean by respond? Obey God. As Pastor Randy said, obey God. In the areas that he's told you to obey him, in the areas that he's told you to stay away from, stay away. The areas that he's told you to forgive, forgive. Areas he's told you to give, give. Whatever he's telling you to do, you do those things, and you're going to walk into greater favor in your life. Amen? That's good. I almost got that done right in time. Hallelujah. Wow. Okay, let me just make sure here. All right. If you'll bow your heads and you'll close your eyes. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hands, and we want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. Secondly, you say, you know what? I've known God, but I'm far from him. I need to get some things right between me and Jesus. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. We simply just want to pray with you and pray for you. His arms are open wide. He loves you with an everlasting love. His mercies are new every morning. All you need to do is respond to him in faith. If that's you, either one of those invitations, I want you to lift your hands, and we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. One, two, three. Lift them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hands up all over the room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. By your grace, with your help, I turn away from my old ways and I turn to you. In Jesus' name, I thank you that your favor is moving me forward. I'm committed to you. I'm dedicated to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.